Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
All pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour. We're back on the air. We're glad you're with us. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio in Oak Grove. Full crew here, Bob, Kelly, and Andrew. Opening segment of the show sponsored, as it is every day, by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Proud supporters of Southern Miss and a great place to take your family for a wonderful meal tonight. Hey, don't forget about our podcast. Many of you tune in every day via the podcast. You'll find it on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can even tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Hoping to catch up with Jason Baker here shortly to talk about women's basketball. JT Crabtree is the play-by-play voice of South Alabama baseball, and the Jaguars are going to be in town this weekend. But let's kick off the show, Andrew, with you. You got a busy afternoon, the new basketball coach being formally introduced a little later. And, you know, when you think about it, really historic moment. It's been 20-plus years since someone other than Joy Lee McNeil has coached a women's basketball team here.
And it's on my day off. It's been a busy week. It's a big day for that. We'll kind of get some insight of how Missy's going to go about building the program. We'll probably get some insight on the transfer portal. She'll have her own thing on ESPN Plus, and then there'll be a separate media press conference to ask the harder questions. I'm interested to see what she has to say and kind of just what the vibe will really be like.
Well, how many players off the women's team are in the transfer portal and probably going to be lost, and how many do you anticipate she will bring with her?
You know, I didn't think about grads, but I know Nyla Jean and Malia Grayson, they're done with graduation. They've got three in the portal: Trinity Rowe, Sunbelt Freshman of the Year, Michaela Manley, and then Ja'Coria Bracey, who for whatever reason did not play last year. So Bracey's probably the only one that didn't really surprise me. But there's some pieces to build with, some pieces that she's got to replace. I mean, they're going to have to do some work in the offseason, make no mistake. But she's kept, it seems like, for the most part, the core of Lady Eagles that you wanted to keep have stuck around outside of Roe.
So let me ask you this. Is women's basketball different in that Trinity Rose, Freshman of the Year in the Sun Belt, now she goes in the portal? I mean, is she marketing herself for a big payday, or is that really in football and men's basketball?
I don't know. Depends. It really, really depends. And truthfully, the real reason Trinity Rowe hit the portal is genuinely because she wanted to play for Joy Lee McNellis. And, you know, she retired. They had a very good relationship. So that had a lot to do with that. So I think it's one of those things. My coach left, so what am I going to do now?
I'm going to take a chance. I think this is Jason Baker. Please tell me this is Jason Baker.
It is, Bob. My apologies. I just got out of a business meeting.
Hey, no problem, man. You know the Eagle Hour is more important than making a living, Jason. Come on.
Well, that's right. I stormed out of a local restaurant to get on the Eagle Hour.
All right, we were just talking about the press conference this afternoon, Andrew, pointing out that three Lady Eagles have entered the portal. We don't really know what the new coach is going to bring. But, Jason, what? Nobody knows the basketball team more than you. You cover them for how many years have you done the play-by-play there?
I've done it now, I believe, 14 seasons.
Golly. So, yeah. So
it goes all the way back to Rick Reeves. So I was here the last time we transitioned coaches, which was obviously leaving the Rick Rees era, and then the hiring of Joy, which, you know, it's hard to believe that was 21 seasons ago is when we hired Joy. And I was at that press conference, and we'll make Missy's today. And, it's exciting times. It just kind of seems a little bit surreal, to be honest with you, Bob.
How different do you think the basketball team will be next year from what everyone is used to seeing?
A lot. Well, number one, my understanding is there's some talent coming from Monroe. They've had one of the elite scorers in the league the last couple of years, and I believe that elite scorer is going to show up in Hattiesburg. And they had one of the better point guards in the league a year ago. I believe she's possibly going to be in Hattiesburg. So I think it's going to look a lot different. And, you know, like, that's not a Missy thing, or, you know, it's because it's a changing over from McNellis. I mean, that's just college athletics today, right? I mean, look at how different it's going to look in the fall under Charles Huff, right? Like, it's I think that's just sort of the world we're in. And you know, whether you like it or you don't like it, doesn't really matter. It is what it is. And to me, like, it's just how the game is played to this point. And for someone like me, like, what it's encouraging is, I just watched the team in Arkansas State, who was in 13th place two seasons ago, now go from 13th to 2 in one off season. And of course, the Lady Eagles finished in 13th place this season. There's no reason why we can't believe you can't finish 1 or 2 in this league, because the changeover will be so much that we could be a completely different ball club than a year ago.
Jason, I'm actually getting word that all 4 of those players from Louisiana Monroe that Missy Bilderbach was going to build that team around next year in Monroe will be in Hattiesburg at the press conference today. All 4 of them will. So that certainly would be a big plus.
Yep, I've been told the same, Kelly. I think you're right. It's, you know, to somewhat to be expected. You know, the hard part, Kelly, today is calculating up, you know, when it was announced and Missy was coming, I went and immediately looked at Monroe's roster. There are some players that are allowed COVID eligibility still a one-year factor. I think we're the last time right now. I went and looked to see, like, which ones had years left, and to hear that, I'll say her name, it doesn't matter, Ja'Kayla Johnson had a year left. And when I saw that on Monday morning, I thought to myself, well, hey, what a great spot for her to fall in Hattiesburg. And so I anticipate her being, and we're talking about a top 5 to 6 scorer in the league, a Dom Davis type player that could be wearing black and gold for the Lady Eagles this season. It's my anticipation. There's another girl that was there, I believe Melanie Timms is how you pronounce her name. She was a transfer from State that Missy got, and I call her springy, just a springy player, just bounces all over the floor, really, really long range shooter. I anticipate she's going to be here as well, I hope. That's kind of the word that we're getting. So, yeah, Kelly, it looks like, and that's how this game is played right now, and I'm here for it if it's going to make the Lady Eagles better.
Well, what is significant, I think, about those 4 in particular was that was one of the hurdles it was perceived that needed to be cleared to get Missy Bilderbach to come home. Was, you know, coaches will leave at the drop of a hat if they know that the talent cupboard is empty. But the talent cupboard was full, at least in Coach Bilderbach's mind it was, and it's difficult to walk away. In the old days, it would have been really difficult to walk away, but now with the transfer portal, it's not as difficult. And like you say, good, bad, or indifferent, it is what it is.
Well, I love that point, Kelly. It's certainly one of the positives, and I think the Arkansas State illustration's one of the caveats to that, right? Like, hey, like, you know, I don't know what people will think the Lady Eagles will be or finish next season, but, you know, the thing about it is the possibility is endless, because it's already been proven you can go from last to hero in an off season nowadays. And I don't know that that's necessarily my complete expectation of what this team will be, but the facts of it are, is I believe Missy's going to get this team better than what we were a year ago.
Jason, we were just discussing this. They've got 3 Lady Eagles in the portal, Manley, Rowe, and Bracey. Nyla Jean, Malia Grayson, graduate. Is there anybody else that we haven't mentioned that are not going to be, for whatever reason, on the roster right now?
Not that I could probably release to you at this time, Andrew. There's probably one more, but nobody how do I want to put this? Nobody impactful from a season ago that that may be leaving that will you just think, oh my gosh, what a catastrophic loss. I mean, obviously, JB's a big loss, but we didn't have her a year ago. Mm-hmm. It, from my perspective, I didn't anticipate Ja'Coria Bracy playing next season for the Lady Eagles. Trinity Rose, a shocker. It's hard. I think timing dealt with a ton of that for Trinity, but I don't think the door is closed on returning to Hattiesburg at all. Matter of fact, I know it's not. And so, you know, you're going to have to beat off some suitors because of the way that, you know, I think her notoriety kind of came to the forefront with how valuable she was, and then certainly winning Freshman of the Year in the Sun Belt Conference and having that award kind of put on top of her head, I think make some other people kind of open their eyes and say, absolutely, let's you know, pursue her. But I don't think that door is closed. And look, man, I think there's no one better at times to tell you about a program than people who have been through the program. Missy Bilderbeck, and I talked to y'all about this back when we were talking about whether she'd be a hire or not. You know, I think Lauren Pittman is going to be a secret weapon for Missy Bilderbeck. She was a Lady Eagle. She's a Mississippi kid. And y'all know Lauren Gross, and I believe she will be announced eventually on Missy's staff. She's going to be an X factor as well.
Hang on, Jason. We've got a couple more questions if you're good with that.
Absolutely.
Jason Baker on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Still to come, JT Crabtree from Kelly's favorite team, South Alabama. It's
Boo.
All next on the Eagle Hour.
Boo.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the air, visiting with our friend Jason Baker, who does the play-by-play for Lady Eagle basketball. And we're a couple hours away here now from the formal introduction of the new head coach. Look, Jason, I think everybody loves Joy Lee McNellis, and everybody's aware of the circumstances involving her right now. But how it'll be hard to describe how different it will be the first time they take the floor, and anybody other than her. My man here, Andrew, was what, 6-7 years old when she started coaching here? I mean, that's literally the truth.
Yeah, but because Andrew was a product of our public education system.
Math.
He's trying his best to figure this out.
I'm not a product of the Mississippi education system.
I stumped him on that.
Well, that's just about as bad.
Did you figure that out, Andrew? How old were you?
It was 2004.
She was 21 years.
That's right.
Here.
21, so I would have been, I think, 5.
Is that not remarkable, Jason Baker? Golly.
Yeah, And you know, Bob, it's going to be different. It is. It's going to be different. But look, you know, I think I try to treat each era in what it was, right? Like, you try to look at it and appreciate for what it was. Just like Joy was never K, or Rick Reeves was never K, or, you know, Missy's not going to be Joy, and she's probably not going to be K James either. She's going to be her own era. So I think you just find appreciations for those eras. You know, what I find when I look back to the McNellis era is, she brought impactful players into this program. Pauline Loves, Dom Davis's, Jamira Faulkner's, Lauren Pittman's, you know, that you're going to see cycled back through here, Malia Grayson's, you know, players like that that went on to make big impacts. And then you just kind of look ahead and move forward and get ready for this new era. And I'm excited for it. I don't have a relationship with Missy much in terms of we know each other, we've spoken, but it's not like I've never interviewed her or anything like that. And so it's just sort of after 21 seasons, it's a fresh start and a new day and a new era. And man, frankly, I'm really looking forward to it, to see what level of basketball she'll take Lady Eagle basketball to.
She certainly comes from those fans that might be listening who have heard her name. We're just going to quickly go over the pedigree again. I mean, she's the daughter of Perry Wheat. She was a Wheat. Perry Wheat, yeah, was a Hall of Fame high school football coach at McGee in Forest County.
Perry Wheat's claim to fame is he is the all-time winningest coach without a state title.
But that's a lot of games over a lot of years and building a lot of programs. So she was she's a girl that likes sports. And you know, any guy in high school would have loved to hang out with Missy Bilderback, because she loves going to basketball games and football games. So it runs in her blood, and I have no doubt that she'll be really successful.
Hey, Jason, you mentioned Dom Davis. I'll tell you this quick story she told me one day. Tell me if this surprises you. You may have heard it. She told me, she said, you know, I grew up my entire life playing basketball against boys, and the first time I ever played a game against girls was in high school, and I thought, well, heck, this is easy. Did she ever share something like that?
I've heard that. I've been told that story,
too. She did. And, you know, you can tell the ones at the game of women's basketball today, the physicalness that they play tends to be the girls that grew up playing against guys, that grew up playing on street courts and side gyms and everything else, which is why there's been such a push over the years. You know, Pat Summitt historically was the one who started it, you know, allowing practice players, which were guys. And I see it now. There's been all kinds of social media put out that there's all these teams on the women's basketball side that are flying their practice players, which are guys, with them to the Sweet 16s and all of this, because they want to keep the continuity and continue to have their practice players. And, you know, Joy was the first coach that I ever saw implement that here at Southern Miss. It's cool to watch, and you can really tell the difference, boy, with these girls get around and play against a male athlete. It's different, and it causes them to play different, causes them to be a lot more physical. And so I can't wait, y'all, to touch back to Missy. I'm super excited, because the track record tells you she's prepared for this. And look, frankly, I had a fan yesterday. We were talking about it in a gas station, and he looked at us and said, "Well, she's 5-0 against us. If you can't beat them, join them." And I said, "You know what? That's a great thought. Like, she's been really good against us, and I think she showed her worth and showed, like, hey, she belongs at this level coaching, and there's no doubt she's prepared for this day."
Texas. Andrew, you were 5 years old.
Six. My mom texted me.
Your mom just texted you and corrected you. Huh?
What surprised me is it took him so long to do that math.
I wasn't ready to do that math.
You know, those guys.
But my mom was wrong. She said seven, but my birthday's in October. So, my gosh.
This should not be this difficult, should it? But. But these practice players that are guys, I mean, how would you like to be those guys? Yeah, what do you do? I'm a college athlete. I get beat up by women on the basketball court every day.
The LA WNBA team put out a poster looking for male practice squad guys, and it was catching quite attention, I've heard.
Hey, Jason, while we got you about 3 minutes left, we have purchased a patrol boat, and we patrol the local rivers anytime Southern Miss slips up and loses a baseball game to pull the distraught fans out of the water. We were really busy since Tuesday. Can you reassure them there's no need to jump off the bridge every time?
Too late for some of them, Bob.
Yeah, some of them we couldn't get to.
We're going to be okay, folks. Those kind of games happen. It's last year's team had it happen. I mean, it's, you know, not to this very team, to Nichols down in Biloxi. I mean, it was almost deja vu Tuesday night again. But, yes, Bob, you know, I think to our fan base, I think, number one, it speaks to our passion, right? I think it speaks to what this fan base expects of this program and where this program is on a national level, that you know, there is some freaking out when a loss like this occurs. But at the end of the day, this is a really good baseball team we possess in Hattiesburg. The book's not finished on them. The resume's not complete. But they've gotten off to such a fantastic start of building a resume that, frankly, Tuesday come May, I hope, is nothing but a blip on a radar that didn't have any effect whatsoever on our season. And there's nothing from this baseball team that I'm around and having conversations with the coaches that makes me believe it won't be anything but just a night that you can just quote-unquote say, well, it was just baseball being baseball, you know. And look, man, Nichols has got Division I players too. And Mike Silva, who, by the way, is at Arkansas State now, the head coach at Nichols, he was smart enough. He had Ladd Rhodes on his staff too, you know, prior to this. And so that's a talented roster as well that they were building there at Nichols. Now he's gone, and so is obviously Ladd. But, you know, that sort of stuff happens. And, yeah, I think it's going to be fine. I will tell you this, though, pump the brakes just a touch because it's going to be tougher than maybe what people believe this coming weekend. Don't let the record fool you with South Alabama.
It's Alabama.
They're hitting like 293 right now as a club. Like, you don't see many teams hitting 293 as a team with a losing record. I mean, that's right around what the Eagles are hitting as a ball club, too. I think we're at 296. So this is a Jags club that possesses some pieces, too. So we got to be on guard, but let's get this thing back rolling now.
Yeah, but that tells me, though, South Al can't pitch very well.
That's correct.
So let's hope that is the case this weekend.
Hey, Jason, man, we always appreciate you. And you feel free to plug us anytime you want to on those ESPN.
I sure will. We'll see how we can fit that Eagle Hour into a couple more ESPN Plus broadcasts for you, Bob.
Thank you, Jason.
I know how we can do it.
Absolutely.
Get him a meal. Take him a meal out there. Right?
Well, that's a way to get to your heart, too. What are you talking
for
about?
For sure, no.
What time is the press conference?
3 o'clock.
Is that the public press conference?
They say to get there at 2:30-ish.
No, his mom just texted. It's at 4.
I'm arguing with her right now at how old I was.
That's the first time I've seen Andrew truly look stumped at a question that was thrown at him.
There's a reason I write for a living. Like, I cannot do math.
Kelly, it shouldn't be this hard.
No, well, I mean, I think it was a relatively simple question. But I also like the fact that you're in touch with your mom and that she's telling you.
She started it. I mean, she keeps saying, no, you were seven. And I know she's wrong because I remember being seven when Katrina hit. That's how I remember ever. That's my childhood time.
Miss Abney, we are delighted that you listen to our radio show. We really
don't ever have
that.
Her on.
We
though.
Really
you
appreciate
don't hear
that.
What she's
Andrew,
got to say.
When you get your math wrong, you're embarrassing the entire family.
More New Orleans, but that's pretty close.
Get your math right.
Speaking of Andrew, if you want to stay informed, just don't ask him any math questions. Yeah. The Pine Belt News would be your source of news and sports coverage in the Hattiesburg area. I don't want to stump you again here, Andrew. It's going to be some numbers. You can get the Pine Belt News delivered for what per year?
35 if you live in the county and 55 if you're out of
the
county.
There we go. He mastered math after which all.
I don't get any of that math, though. I see none of that math.
You can also follow them on their social media platforms or visit their website at hubcityspokes.com. That was fun. Thank you, Andrew.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's why that check isn't bigger, because you have difficulty with big numbers.
I know I'm getting a phone call from my mom after this show. So.
She's a star now.
We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back to the show. 4th Street Bar and Grill sponsors this segment of the program, as they do every day, and we appreciate that. And also our good friends at MCS Home Center out in Bellevue, Highway 98, brand new. Weekend warrior time, springtime, time to visit MCS Home Center. You'll find literally everything for home improvements, lawn and garden care. Great staff, local people. No reason not to do business with MCS Home Center. Don't forget about our podcast, Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We appreciate the thousands of you that do that every single month. We also appreciate JT Crabtree for coming on our program. He's the play-by-play voice for the South Alabama Jags. And, of course, they're coming to town this weekend. Always exciting when Southern Miss and South Al line up and square up in baseball. JT, I know the Jags started out really hot. They've run into a little trouble here as of late. Kind of bring us up to date on the Jaguar season, 25 games in.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. These Jags look really solid out of the gates. A lot of new faces with the squad, which that seems to be going around everywhere in collegiate athletics nowadays. But the guys settled in pretty quickly. We're looking pretty good. You felt confident after a couple of wins. Had a rough week two at UAB where our Friday night pitcher goes down with an injury and kind of had to reshuffle everything. And then you come back home. You play better. You go on the road, you take a series at Louisiana Tech, and you're saying, okay, there it is. Like, it's starting to come back. And then we absolutely pop number 13 Ole Miss at the time, 14-5 at our place for a midweek, and you're saying, there it is. Finally, it's all put together. There's the Jags we've been waiting for. And then we get swept at Georgia State. Then we get walked off by Alabama. But then you lose 2 out of 3 against Louisiana this past weekend, who has been scuffling a little bit. And go back to this past Tuesday. We're up in Montgomery playing a neutral site with Auburn. We jump out to a 2-0 lead and then quickly give the lead right back up. Lost some more guys and some injuries on Tuesday. And so we're kind of limping into Hattiesburg a little bit this weekend. It's still a team that we haven't yet seen a full 9 innings, I think. And that's kind of scary to say, almost good approaching 25 games into the year. But I still think there's something there to it. We just haven't seen everything kind of fire on all cylinders quite yet.
So what you're saying, JT, is you might be able to predict the outcome better with a pair of dice.
No kidding. No kidding. I mean, it really is a crapshoot right now with these guys. You know, if the team that showed up against Ole Miss and beat them 14-5 and the team that took Alabama to extra innings is the one that shows up this weekend and every weekend, great. I feel great. But lately, the guys that have been showing up on the weekend, especially on Fridays, we haven't won a Friday game since opening day. It's so weird to try and kind of put your finger on, yes, this is what's really wrong with the team. Oh, no, today it's actually this. So you're right. I think rolling a dice might be a little easier these days.
JT, we were just told they have a batting average of 290 plus, 11-13. That would indicate pitching problems and not so much offensive problems. Is that a correct assumption?
I think so. The big issue really for this team these last couple of ball games hasn't been getting hits. It's been getting the timely hit. You know, you look back at Sunday against Louisiana, I think we had 13 total hits, but 12 were singles. You know, we just haven't been able to get that big hit from that stretch where we looked like we were starting to turn things around, an 8-game stretch from a Wednesday game against Alabama State to the win over Ole Miss. We were hitting as a club about 370 with runners in scoring position. These last 8 games now, we're hitting a .171 with runners in scoring position.
Wow.
And so that's been a huge swing to why it's so frustrating with these guys. You see the hit here, and you pull one down the line. You're working at bat, and you work an 8-pitch walk or whatever, and then you strand a pair of guys on base with one out. And we cannot get that big hit. And you know, I know Southern Miss, you know, they've got pitching galore this season. They usually do over there. But, you know, pitching and defense is typically our bread and butter at South Alabama. And a team ERA that's hovering right around 5 is about average now in college baseball. And so we've had some injuries on the mound. You know, our Friday guy got hurt week 2. And then the guy we moved from Saturday to Friday, now he's been dealing with another shoulder issue. And so now he's trying to work his way back in. So we're down to a guy who was in our bullpen of starting Fridays. Our long man is now our Saturday, and a true freshman has been thrown on Sundays. So yeah. Pitching has been a little bit of an adventure for sure these last 2 weeks.
I want to take you back. Alabama's a couple weeks out on the Southern Miss schedule, and they've got a gaudy record. There's no question about that. I don't think they've lost but maybe two games all year. How good was that Alabama team?
They're good. They're very good. You know, they've got some typical power arms and some power bats. You know, you look at the gaudy numbers offensively that Justin LeBron's put up at shortstop, and my gosh, I mean, when we played them, I think it was game 18 of the season, and he already had 42 RBIs on the year. It's the stuff that he's been doing as their shortstop is tremendous, and he makes it look easy too. It's a good club. You know, they apply pressure on you relentlessly. You don't really have a spot in the lineup where you can kind of relax and breathe a little bit. You know, we got walked off by them in the 10th, and it was a 3-0 pitch on the outer third that Cade Snell just took the other way for a walk-off homer. You know, it wasn't even the pitch that you should even swing at, and he walked it off. You know, they're very offensive. Rob Vaughn's done a really good job of quickly getting them to where they want to be in Tuscaloosa, and it's definitely a tough task for sure.
Well, going into this weekend, what is we know what it means from the Southern Miss standpoint, but what does the Golden Eagle rivalry with the South Alabama fans mean, JT, in your words?
It's a lot of fun, man. You know, I think it's great that they joined the conference. You know, we kind of scrambled a little bit because Southern Miss was always one of our guaranteed great RPI midweek teams that we could play, and so now we get them for three for a series, and so it's just a little different in that respect. But just from a regional rivalry standpoint, our fans love to play against you guys. I know in baseball it hasn't gone our way these last couple, but it's fun. You know, it's a great atmosphere that you guys have at the Pete's. I can't wait to get over there this weekend to call these three games. But it's an easy drive for our fans. I know that our fans and Southern Miss fans get into a little bit on social media and everything, but that's the fun of it, right?
Right. You
know, they have, I think, a mutual respect of what you guys have done in the past, what we've done in the past. I think there's some mutual hatred, mutual respect built in there because it's a lot of fun. I you know, we've got Troy in the States and in the conference, and you know that's a rival as well, of course. But truly, I think Southern Miss and Louisiana over in Lafayette, I think those are really two of the blue blood rivalries that we have across all sports, not just, you know, if you break it down to just football or something like that. I think Southern Miss and Louisiana really stack up better for us in terms of rivalry than maybe Troy does.
I agree with that totally.
And actually, when you look at the talent pot that South Alabama has, there's a lot of Mississippi flavor in there, isn't there, JT?
There is. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, the guy we're going to throw on Friday night, Zach Willingham from Cleveland, Mississippi. I mean, we've routinely gone to Mississippi to bring in some big-name guys. We've got some homegrown in Alabama, don't get me wrong, but
sure. Definitely
for sure, we scout Mississippi JUCOs, Mississippi high schools at a premium to try and bring talent in every year.
But you haven't won an opening game since opening weekend, or a Friday game?
Yeah.
Boy,
yes, we have not won a Friday game since February 14th.
That's encouraging, JT.
I was going to say, I hate that for him, Bob.
I'll tell you this, JT. Travis Creel's on our show every Wednesday, and Coach told us this past Wednesday that he knows a lot of the kids on the South Alabama team because I guess everybody works in the same recruiting circles. He said the struggles are not a lack of talent. He said the Jaguars have a lot of really talented baseball players on their roster.
No doubt. I mean, you look at this roster and what these guys have done at previous stops. You know, take Kyle Morrison at third base. His individual numbers this season have been great. And then even at Shelton State Community College last year and the year before, he was really good there too. John Smith, who's been in right field, he transferred from Pensacola State. And if he weren't a sophomore last year, he probably would have been drafted. And so we've got some really talented guys. Zach Stevens, who was our opening Saturday starter, has been a little bit banged up with a shoulder issue. When he's healthy, he's 94, 96 with some sink and a power curveball. If Jackson Scheinflew, another lefty starter, he was our Friday night guy, and he's been banged up. He's now out of the pen, but he's another guy that we really need stronger, longer innings from him to be competitive, and he's just been banged up. This team is super talented. I mean, a guy like Ethan Melton, he's from Mississippi. He was a freshman All-American candidate about 40 games through last season, and then literally hit the wall in Troy. He slipped over a short fence trying to go for a foul ball, bruised his hip, was never the same. And the kid has now started this year 0 for 14, just can't sniff an at-bat right now. Wow. And so the talent is definitely there. It's just making all nine guys just click all at once that we haven't been able to figure out.
JT, we appreciate you being on the show. I will pass this along to you. We have word that our crowds will be very quiet and humble all weekend. So you can tell your guys to just relax in that regard, okay?
I think you're misinforming me here a bit.
And, Bob, where our fans jump off a bridge, if things go bad, the guys in Mobile have the advantage. Their fans just slowly walk into the bay and keep going. They don't, they don't have to jump.
Don't give our fans any ideas. Hey, man, we appreciate you, JT. Have a safe trip down here, brother.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
JT Crabtree, everybody. South Alabama Jaguars. You know it's not going to be easy. Anybody that thinks that's going to be easy this weekend is not real informed.
That's what makes it fun, though, too.
Oh, no question. That's the great thing about college baseball, too. We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans. TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, back on the show. DBAT sponsoring this segment. Appreciate all they do. Great place for baseball, softball training. Mobay Beignet Company. I'm going to make a trip down there this weekend, take a guest with me, and have some beignets and some hot coffees. And you know, the best way to get there, Kelly, would be in a new Genesis from Genesis of Hattiesburg, and you could probably buy one on their at their new showroom, High 98 West in Hattiesburg. Well, so after the interview with JT Crabtree, we can both assume the Golden Eagles are going to kick them to the curb like trash, right?
According to what he said, it depends on which team shows up. It might.
I'm kidding.
No, I know you are, but and it might be a nail biter in all three games, but. And the Eagles have got to tend to their business.
They do. They got to get. They can't play like they did Tuesday night.
But I don't know if we said this off the air to JT or not. But the Eagles, fingers crossed, knock on wood, whatever superstition you believe in, they've been able to avoid major injuries up to this point.
Yes.
And it is so hard. And I called a couple of games yesterday down in Poplarville between Hines and Pearl River, and Dan Reeves is a great coach at Hines, and. They're almost in the playoffs every single year, and they're at the dead bottom of the standings this year, and just about every key guy he's got has gone down, and he said that we're just not deep enough to be able to suffer injuries like that and recover from it. So, whereas South Alabama struggling with a little bit of that so far, the Eagles haven't, and I'm sure part of it is strength and conditioning that's good, but other part of it's just pure luck.
Luck,
yeah.
Speaking of struggling. Softball team, big game last night, packed crowd, Mississippi State nationally ranked in town. Bulldogs took care of it 9-1. That's a pretty substantial defeat in fast pitch softball.
I agree with you, but I also agree with people who have who know a lot and have seen them play that they're better than they were last year. The Lady Eagles are better than they were last year. And here's something encouraging too. The game was officially a sellout. Now, you know how that goes. I mean, not every single seat is used, but the game was a sellout. So that tells you that the team is getting some attention, getting some local support, and I know some of those were Mississippi State fans, but by and large, when one of the things that Southern Miss has struggled with over the years is when they've been under the national spotlight, they're playing another rated team in whatever sport, they just haven't been able to get that big win necessarily that gets them, you know, more nationwide recognition. And you hope that all the programs get to that point to where it'll be routine. And up to now, really, baseball has been the only one that's been consistently been able to do that year in and year out.
As consistently as any program in the country.
In that sport, for sure.
Yeah.
I think if you crunch the numbers on all of the, even the schools from that conference, the rich conference, mm-hmm. I think if you crunch Southern Miss's wins and losses to a lot of the teams in that conference, they're right there with them.
No, I don't think there's any doubt about that whatsoever. But South Alabama will not come in here and lay down. You know that. You know it's going to be a fight.
And even if there is a little bit of talent disparity on one side or the other, it's that rivalry that JT was talking about.
Yeah.
That and I noticed, I kind of joked on the air. I said, now, JT, if I call him South Alabama, am I going to get shanked?
You said yes.
Yeah. And then you bring him on the air and say, the voice of South Al. And I thought, uh-oh, Bob, you're on the hit list.
Here's another thing that occurred to me the other night. This is the good and bad of really having lofty national rankings. It makes you feel good. It makes everybody smile. Number 13 in the country, that's quite something out of 300 baseball teams around America. But it also widens that target on your back, because now everybody that plays you is a little more juiced, because you don't think those kids from Nicholls State were on the roof of that bus going back Tuesday night, that they had just beat the number 13 team in the country. Would you agree? It's a good thing, but it adds to the pressure.
Also helps Nicholls in recruiting.
Well, sure.
You know, when you can say, hey, we can hang with the best of them.
Sure. And
in any circumstance, that is the case. What I feel, there's one thing that I feel sorry about for the baseball guys, and that's because Golden Eagle fans, men's and women's sports, and we alluded to it just a second ago, there hasn't been any sport that has been successful long-term.
Except baseball.
You know, it's some of the minor sports, with all due respect, golf has been, you know, pretty good. Track and field, of course, has been good. But those generally are not the sports that most people pay a lot of attention to. But of the main sports, baseball's been the only one. So the fans are so thirsty for any success,
yes,
that even when they stub their toe in
they
a game,
can't against, stand it.
They just can't stand it. It's like it's eluding us again.
Yes,
success is eluding us again.
Don't misunderstand. I didn't want to see them lose Tuesday night.
Of course not.
I was pulling as hard as I could for them, but I did. I've been around it enough now to see the big picture, and the big picture is the Tuesday night game. In April or March, Tuesday night game in March, it's not going to mean a thing to you if you're playing really well in the middle of May and you're headed into your tournament, top of the league, tournament favorite. You're not going to remember a March Tuesday night baseball game.
But you also have to remember, too, that Nicholls, even though 80% of the people might not even know where Nicholls is located,
they're pretty good.
That was a regional team last year.
They beat LSU 2 years ago on a Tuesday night.
So it's...
Yeah.
We're going to be all right.
Going to Baton Rouge and winning, whether it's Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, as my friends up in the Delta would say, Kelly, ain't easy.
2 out of 3 against South Owl would be great.
I agree. Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. To the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.